Penguin Random House Audio presents The Lucky Star by William T. Volman. Read for you by Abby Craden with Andrew S. Bates. In memory of Jean Stein, gentle benefactress and beautiful friend, I will never forget you. Since there are so many literal gaps in the tattered texts with which we are dealing, in effect, all readings of Sappho are really fictions of Sappho. Jane McIntosh Snyder, 1997. And that is how Madhavi was born, with a pubis like a cobra's hood. Prince Ilongo Adigal, circa 171 AD. The Lucky Star. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Psalm 63:3. Part 1. You who were loved above all others. I, the servant of God, am thankful to him that no one can help falling in love with beautiful women, and that no one can escape the desire to possess them, neither by change, nor flight, nor separation. Sheikh Umar ibn Muhammad al-Nafzawi, circa 1400. 1. Not until Celine's wedding, when the fan's three blades winked slowly round and round, while green ribbons twitched from the light bulb, did the trans woman, resurrected from another crying spell, meet her for whom she must have been meant. The lovely quiet one who could help her, the adorable one with the pubis like a cobra's hood, the lesbian. On this glaring afternoon, no less fortuitously because the procedure had been conceived and undertaken in Celine's honor, her cheeks excitedly pinkening, the trans woman, whom younger and therefore crueler ladies called sloppy, fat, unclean, or just plain lazy, had so painstakingly constructed herself that at least here in this dark lounge she might have been female to the core. The retired policeman, whom she dated once a week, liked to compare her to a suspect who can nearly pass his polygraph examination. She had long since persuaded herself not to be hurt by repetitions of this compliment, which, since he did regularly hire her, expressed his tastes as much as her womanliness. The last time she had looked half as good, which was on Easter, when she, Chantal and Celine, availed themselves of the cosmetics liquidation sale in Chinatown, she'd swished into his room and said, "Maybe now you'll agree that you've seen something," to which he replied, "You ain't seen nothing until you've seen a girl take a bullet right through her smile and down her throat." During their appointments, which terminated with what he called a climax, she frequently drank comfort from a lovely fantasy of surrendering to an unknown man who hid his face while penetrating her over and over, this act being observed by a crowd of flint-napped faces that would have included the retired policeman no more than some gynecologist whose invasion has been rendered safely invisible to the patient through the childish magic of a surgical drape. Her clients, sweethearts and special friends, tended to be male. Many of them she actually liked, but her heart's desire was to be a woman with a woman. And now right here among our tall and smooth-skinned drag queens, who smelled of powder, sat the lesbian in a green blouse, her shoulders smoothly sparkling like Venus's marble breast. 2. Last year, or maybe the year before, a different goddess had set her own unanswerable tone. When she first saw that girl's black curls shining so wide around her shoulders, and when the girl's white teeth and lustrous eyelashes consequently commenced to illuminate us, the trans woman lost her ability not to watch the breathings of the girl's breasts in their white, white blouse. How she longed to slide her face down the girl's brown arms, which shone as only young female flesh can. Unlike those misdirected lovers who push their own cause, the trans woman adored the girl's self-assured voice, which was sleekly insistent, if not domineering. Possession being impossible, she aspired merely to parasitize. Sometimes she ordered an extra bourbon and ginger ale, $6, stirring its lone ice cube round and ever round in hopes that the girl would uncross her legs. No matter what, such efforts were never wasted, thanks to that sleek voice within the stunning white smile, because, most fortunately for all worshippers, the girl, whose name was Letitia, liked nothing better than to speak of herself. Her long yellow pale fingers were always gesturing to explicate who she was not, why others miscomprehended her, and what she refused to do. Fascinated, the trans woman tried to memorize her smell.
"I know exactly what you mean," said the girl, "because everyone has these conceptions of me. If all that people think about me are certain conceptions," she smilingly continued, not realizing that several degenerates, Francine the barmaid, for instance, thought nothing whatsoever about her, "then that shows a willingness to simplify me so they can deal with me quickly."
The trans woman nodded avidly, licking her lips.
"I found it interesting," remarked the girl, "that you could only imagine that you couldn't move beyond it."
Watching her crossed legs, the trans woman mouthed the prayer, "Open, open, open." The girl continued,
"I smile every time people say, 'The thing about black women is,'"
"Oh, yes, well, that's right," said the trans woman, almost sick because at any moment Celine's best friend Samantha would come in,
and then she would no longer have Letitia to herself. Fortunately, Letitia and the trans woman's frenemy, Chantel, hated each other. Chantel, who liked to inflict spitefulnesses interspersed with lovey-doveyness, sat contentedly enough on the dark side of the bar, doing business with Francine.
"Do you have any understanding of the point I'm making?"
"Well, I guess so, but—"
"I'm ready for a refill. Only up to here. Otherwise it gets too watery."
"Francine, could I please get a round for Letitia?"
$6.
"But just up to here."
"Yeah, Letitia, I'm not deaf. What about you, hun?"
"Oh, what the hell," cried the trans woman in high self-delight.
"Make it a double."
$13 total. "Thank you."
And then Letitia continued,
"They gave me a rose quartz necklace. It went extremely well with my white gold earrings. Of course, they're not responsible for that, and I don't blame them for not understanding that I'm allergic to sterling silver."
"I'll bet it's real pretty on you. Why don't you model it sometime?"
"The thing is, I wanted to give them the opportunity to see how it looked on me while I was managing the project."
"I'll bet you got compliments."
"I'll give you compliments." "Actually, I didn't. Because what the marketing team failed to consider was that stage 4 might go over budget. They probably didn't feel comfortable with the analysis design. And yet they expected me to get the business panel on board. You don't understand any of this."
Just as an old-school lesbian separatist would have turned away from an otherwise comradely woman who occasionally fucked boys, Letitia drew the line at the trans woman for being simply impure. But she was too perfect to tell her, and so the trans woman got to stare at her in unalloyed delight.
"Judy, are you even listening? That's why they pushed it over to me, to sabotage me. But it backfired, because I actually expanded the project base."
"Is your drink okay?" asked her adorer. "You're not touching it."
"Do you have any idea what a product base is?"
"I'm sorry, but I can't quite picture it. I wish I could. Do you want to explain it to me? I mean,
I like to think you're just lazy."
"But maybe it's something more mindless or even vicious," said the girl.
"I could use another cigarette."
Rushing across the street to buy her a pack of filter-tipped high-tar Carolina Naturals, the trans woman had thought to desire Letitia throughout her life. but the lesbian's appearance removed that imp-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?